when I was beating them, especially in Brands, it definitely felt very rewarding compared to even other wins that I had where I was fighting, you know, I won't name people, but just insert some other team, right? In North America, we were the king. We were at the top for so long as a region. You know, we started eating too good, drank too much wine. We got lazy, whatever.
Right.
It doesn't matter. We know we're the best. No one can touch us.
Welcome to Season 2 of Brawlhalla Origins. This season's lineup is packed with awesome guests from various backgrounds in the Brawlhalla community. Join our VIP list by signing up at season2.brawlhallaorigins.com to get early access to each episode, special clips, giveaways, and behind-the-scenes updates. Today's guest is Faison. He's a content creator and professional player known for his mastery in Brawlhalla doubles.
Remy and Faison have defeated the undefeated doubles team! They have done it! Can you believe it? Remy and Faison are your low-tier City 7 doubles champions!
Brawlhalla Origins is presented by Brawl Academy. Brawl Academy's mission is to provide the best educational content for improving at Brawlhalla to support competition long-term by bringing in and leveling up new talent. Learn more at BrawlAcademy.com. Brawlhalla Origins Season 2 is sponsored by SIB Esports. Go support them and follow what they do over at esportssib.com.
Welcome to another episode of Brawlhalla Origins. Today I've got the one and only Faison here with me today. Faison, how are you doing?
I'm good.
Good to have you on. You are... For Season 2, I wanted to lean more into viewer requests for guests for this season. And so most of our guests for Season 2 are highly requested folks, and you are definitely up there on the list of requests. So nice. Glad that we could have you on. Glad we could pull out another viewer requested or listener requested guest. So as you know, the point of the show is to kind of talk to kind of notable people in the community and learn more about their history with the game. Mm-hmm. So the very first question I always ask everyone is, how did you find Brawlhalla?
So there are some friends that I played TF2 with, and I never really cared to play, like, I always leaned towards playing on PC stuff. Mm-hmm. I never liked playing on... things with controllers and stuff, even from a young age. Like, I just didn't really have a console. The first console I had was PS2. Okay. And then I got a Wii, and then I started playing a ton of Super Smash Bros. Brawl. And basically, I was always like, dude, it'd be sick if there was Smash on PC. It was pretty much as simple as that. And these guys that I played TF2 with, they actually ended up showing me this game. And I vividly remember... the game that made me kind of stop playing Brawl for a little bit, because I played Free For All with them and I just felt like I was getting teamed up on Grumpy Temple. So I was like, I'm not going to touch this game. That was terrible. And then probably a couple months later, I came back and I was like, you know what? I actually want to get good at this, because this is 100% the closest thing that we're going to have to Smash Brothers where I can play it on my keyboard. So I was like, let's just try it. And it's like, I want to be good at it. And I guess, yeah, just kind of went from there.
Nice. So you've had a pretty interesting career in Brawl at this point. I mean, you have had a pretty decent amount of success as a competitive player, I would say. Have you... What do you think, in your mind, is sort of your best achievement as a player up to this point?
I think the easy go-to one is to say the... winning a LAN, you know. I'm not gonna, you know, I look at low tier city, I'm like, that's probably my best win with Remy, but at the same time, I'm not gonna act like it was totally stacked, right? There, obviously, the competition pre-COVID, I'll really say, wasn't nearly as deep, and in my mind, in a way, that can almost be proven by another thing that I consider to be one of my, like, higher achievements, which is, like, for a year or two, I don't think I saw outside of, like, a grand finals and 2v2s, at least online. I mean, even at LANs, aside from BCX, I remember with, like, Remy, we were always in there with Boomy and Sandstorm. So yeah, it's like, I really do like the Lanwyn. You know, Boomy Sandstorm, people consider them to be, I'll speak for Boomy at least, I mean, it's pretty obvious that he's the best ever in twos.
Right.
And then, you know, Sandstorm, I don't really need to elaborate. So it's like, even if the rest of the competition was kind of bad, it's like, okay, I think at least for that tournament, or really any tournament that I played in around that time, when I was beating them, especially in Grands, it definitely felt very rewarding compared to even other wins that I had where I was fighting, you know, I won't name people, but just insert some other team, right?
Right. So with that in mind, would you, because I know you've had pretty decent placements in ones as well, do you consider yourself more of a ones player or a twos player?
Twos player, hands down. I have no gold medals in twos, or no gold medals in ones. I mean, I, you know, I've had a decent amount of like top eights and top threes and stuff, but twos is, it's weird because right now I've had the thought of, I actually think I might be enjoying ones a little bit more than twos just because I have my own gripes about a couple different things with twos.
Sure.
But overall, I think just the success kind of speaks for itself.
Sure.
That if I was that passionate about 1v1s, I think I could have done better, or maybe, you know, I'm not going to say win, but maybe even be more consistent about my placements.
Right.
You know?
Right. And so I guess with that in mind, like you kind of alluded to it a little bit there. I mean, let's kind of dig into it a little bit. Like what's kind of your feelings on 2v2s kind of right now?
I think the map pool is so-so, but I actually don't mind some of the maps like Terminus. I don't mind Dojo. It's just you look at Halo, that map, four platforms too much for me, right?
Sure.
Let's just say that one, get it out of there. But then like Dojo, I don't mind it whatsoever. I think overall it's pretty solid, but it's all red. I can't see anything.
Yeah, that's also my complaint on that map. But I also have that problem on Miami Dome as well. Like I historically haven't been able to see anything on Miami Dome either. And Dojo is like worse. I think the platforms in Dojo are fine. I like the map layout itself. I honestly am totally okay with it. It's just the contrast of the map, I think, is what.
Yeah.
What kills it for me. So.
Yeah. And, you know, stuff like on Terminus. And I think even Dojo and Halo, again, especially, but that thing is like dead to me. the 3D walls. I didn't remember this, but apparently on Miami Dome, they like shrunk them slightly because they used to be more prominent.
Right.
I feel like that needs to be done to these maps desperately. I don't think it's as egregious maybe as like what Miami's was, but still it's like there's a balance between like functionality, I think, and design. They're really trying to nail the design, but then it's like, okay, I get that the art team, whoever is making these backgrounds and maps, like they're not necessarily focused on maybe the functionality totally.
Sure.
They're
making really kick-ass map art and it all looks great, but at the same time, like the actual form factor of the stages need to be respected a little bit more than they have been.
And if you're gonna make it like a competitive map, right, like if you know that, oh, this thing is gonna go into competitive, I think there needs to be that like thought kind of in the back of the mind that, oh hey, people are going to be, at the end of the day, you know, when a tournament happens, playing on this map for money. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that it, like, don't let it become such an afterthought where it's like you release it and then there's problems. You know, try and at least have somewhat forward thinking with it.
Mm. Sure. What about, I know that we've had a little bit of a balance change recently with the most recent patch with SpongeBob. But I guess kind of going into sort of like the end of 2023, now that BCX is kind of over, and looking forward to 2024, Like, what are your thoughts on the current state of the 2v2 meta?
Axe is almost feels like it's you should have it at the ready. I don't think you're necessarily forced to play it, but I mean, it was already good previous patch, and to see nothing being changed about it, and it did have like really good success pretty much all throughout the year, both lands and onlines.
Mm-hmm.
You could look at BCX and be like, well, I mean, in the top eight, you know, you had Godly, number one EU on Axe. You had Kaina, best Heros on Axe. You had Akno, Blaze, you know, all these mm-hmm. guys that have been playing it for their whole careers and are also just some of the best in their region. I still think when you look at the grand scope of it, something should have happened to that because it is pretty crazy. But even still, Gauntlets got nerfed. I think Gauntlets are pretty good. I think the Nair into like Endlight combo was too much anyways, you know, having sure. something like that guaranteed. I don't mind the nerfs at all. They still feel good to play. If you're good with them, you're going to be fine, right? You yeah. can't be a Gauntlet player and also, I don't want to say complain about the state of Gauntlets, but act like you can't play them. Because right. you could play Tezca, you can play Wushang, you know, who's another, Val even. I mean, mm-hmm. there's a multitude of Gauntlet characters that are still good. And that's just looking at, you know, the more common 2v2 picks.
Sure, sure.
Rayman as well. In ones, I think, like, Petra is actually insanely, insanely good.
No, I definitely agree. Especially after that orb buff. It's a little small, but at the same time, like, I think it's a pretty good change for orb as far as, like, making the weapon feel a little better.
Yeah, what even was that? I didn't,
Orb recovery. Recovery got, I think it's more consistent force and stun on hit now, mm-hmm. especially in the later stages of the recovery.
All right. Well.
So, yeah, I think Petra is probably still very good.
The only
complaint about the Gauntlet Nair change is the way that it was done also made all of Nair's other follow-ups less consistent.
Yeah, some of them do fall pretty flat on their face. Yeah. You know, you do a Nair and try and do a GCD light, even at later health, it's like, oh, wow, they're just stuck to the ground.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's part of it when changes like this happen. You can't, because that is like thinking, like, the mindset is previous patch, like, oh, this, you know, this was working.
Right.
It's as simple as now it's not working.
Yeah. It's about adapting to the balance if you still want to play the weapon.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there will probably be some people that switch, but I agree. I think Gauntlets are still very good for most Gauntlet players.
Yeah.
To try to move off of balance and meta, you have kind of blown up a bit in content over the last, what would you say, like year, 2 years?
Honestly, like, I don't even think it's like a blow up, really. I think I was helped out by the fact that I've done pretty good in the competitive scene.
Sure.
And like, I've been making videos probably since 2018, roughly.
Okay.
And really, I don't like per month, I'm not gaining like a ton of subscribers and stuff. And of course, I've kind of changed how I upload in the past year or so.
Sure.
But as far as now, I mean, it is weird to think that realistically I'll be at 100,000 by the end of the year, right? And it's been a bit of a slow crawl, but I mean, it's a pretty weird thing to think like that there's even 100,000 people that are, you know, interested in Brawlhalla. Not to say I'm not saying it's a bad game, but it's just like, you know, as a person who watches a lot of YouTube, you know, yeah. It's just like it's weird to think that, oh, I'm going to get like a play button and stuff. And it's like, even if that's not the most uncommon thing in the world anymore, there's so many people doing content now.
Right.
It still is a pretty like, you know, whenever someone asks me what I do, it's like, oh, yeah, I do this thing. And they're like, oh, you do something else? Like, no, this is what I do. So moments like that are definitely, I guess, I put in perspective and stuff.
Yeah, it's a little surreal, right? Because it's not just that, like, there's 100,000 people that are watching Brawlhalla. It's that of all the things that exist on YouTube, they're choosing to watch Brawlhalla over something else.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
Which makes it sound even more crazy with kind of that context as well. Yeah. So 100K before the end of the year, that sounds like a big deal.
I mean, it is, but at the same time, like, I feel like I've been sitting on, you know, I look at my subscriber count probably a little too much now.
Sure.
Given I'm like closing in. Uh-huh. And also, you know, on Twitter, like, I put out a tweet how it was like, oh, you know, just to hold myself accountable, if anything, like, to get content, keep moving, something to reference and be like, oh yeah, you know, I set this like temporary goal in a way. Yeah, I don't plan on doing anything crazy, really. Again, just because it's not like it's been some, like, all of a sudden, like, boom, oh wow, we're here, this is crazy. It's been like, I'm at 97, I'm at 98,
it's
getting
been
close
a slow
to 99.
Grind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, once I hit 100,000, it's like, I mean, I knew
okay,
I
now
could
what?
Be here. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You mentioned that you kind of changed up how the way that you upload in the past year. Can you tell me a little bit about that and, like, what's kind of changed for you as far as, like, content creation?
Okay, so in previous years, I'll just even go a year back. I was trying to upload roughly, and, you know, I'll include, like, throughout college too. Really, I was just putting out more casual commentary. Of course, there'd be like a series here and there that I would do. And I would be doing a couple times a week, whereas at the beginning of the year, I ended up doing roughly, because it definitely did not stick to this because of, you know, personal reasons and stuff. I have a life outside of this stuff. Obviously, I hope that's clear. I don't just sit and play Brawl 24/7, even though some people probably think I do, but, no, I was like, you know, I'll do once a week, try and make it a bigger video. I work with a great editor, Ixed, and he's been an immense help. And also, like, Sandwick now, he helps me with, like, thumbnails and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of changed it to be more like, okay, when I do release a video, I don't want to just throw something out into the void that is just another commentary of, oh, look, I'm, you know, let's talk about Petra, or let's talk about Mordex, right, because if you're consistent with it, I'm sure you can get views, and I think Pavelski is a great sort of testament to that,
right?
But at the same time, he's Pavelski, I am Faison, so it's like I can take inspiration and I can look at him and Egg, because I think out of all the people in what I call, like, the BrawlTuber kind of space, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're the closest to me, and they're both much bigger than me. So it's like, right. I definitely, and it's not necessarily subtle all the time. I take a lot of inspiration, I'll call it, from them. It's definitely a fine line that you have to walk. I've heard people say before, like, a big method is you look at what people have done, and then you yoink it, and then you twist it, right? You got to try and make it your own in some way. Even if the concept is entirely the same, well, okay, let's make the thumbnail a little different or something.
Sure.
But yeah, really, it's just the uploads kind of slowed down this year. But I don't think it necessarily ended up being a great decision, because it was also impacted on with, like, video sponsors and stuff, right? If I upload less and those videos do better, right, say they get above 50,000 views on each one,
sure,
well, the offers and stuff that I'm going to be getting, even if the YouTube ad revenue isn't as high, I'm going to be getting much better deals for, you know, 60-second ad, 30-second ad,
right,
whatever. And then it's like, okay, this is much more worth it than what I was previously doing. Where, right, I'm kind of at now, after trying, you know, both, sort of, I tried to just upload really as much as I can, or as much as I feel like, just push something out there. I don't really care if it necessarily goes crazy. And then, you know, recently the let's try and get some bigger numbers and stuff. I think I'm kind of falling back into a bit of a middle ground where it's like, I'm just gonna, if I have an idea, I'm going to do it, and then I'm going to put it out there and try not to overthink it too much, because I think in this past year that definitely has been a problem where I'll work on something, I'll have it edited, you know, I have Sandwick make a thumbnail, whatever, and then it's like, why is this not, there's no reason for it to not be doing as good, and it just kind of, it is what it is, that's the name of the game. And it adds like a lot of stress, because it's like, okay, well, I have this mentality of this video needs to maybe hit a certain number. And then if it doesn't hit that number, it's like, well, I'm not going to get the better deals and stuff. And it's just like, I put a lot more stress on myself than what I think I should. So, yeah, I need to definitely, and I am, that's kind of part of the goal of this remaining month, is just chill out a little bit, put out what you want. You know, I've done it long enough to where I know what people like, and I look around in the scene and see, okay, what could possibly do well. I just gotta upload a little more, not stress about it, and it will have success. If it doesn't, I can always upload another video. That's just facts.
Right. So, I mean, you're kind of touching on something that I think is really common across content creators in general, is just kind of this like fear of the content not resonating with the audience for some of the things that you want to do. But at the same time, like you mentioned, you do have like past history that shows that, you know, like kind of what content does work, and you can choose to do more of that, more of the stuff that you know that does work. So at the same time, I kind of feel like maybe you do have sort of a little bit of freedom to experiment, since you know if the experiments don't work, you can return to the stuff that does.
Yeah, I actually, and this might be corny by me, but I saw something like this morning, and it's like, and I think this is very good, obviously, in general, right? But as a content creator, I think it definitely applies to me a bit more. It's like, I think the guy said, or whoever it was on some dumb YouTube short. It was like, confidence is like, I forget what he said, but like doing something you've already done, and, you know, you should be confident about that because you've done it before, you've seen the success of it. And then like courage or something is kind of taking that leap a little bit, not sure if it's gonna work, and you figure it out from there. And I think in content, I totally botched that, but in content, you have to, even if I'm never gonna expand my content on this channel, at least, beyond Brawlhalla, because it gets weird. I think it's doable. I don't know. There's a lot more than 100,000 people out there, but yeah, it's tough, but you can still expand with, you know, within your space, there are corners and stuff that you could reach into that other people haven't yet. And that is hard with Brawlhalla sometimes, but I think stuff even as simple as like the 1v7, that is a great example of where I've been able to actually kind of do something differently. And I looked to like at Valorant videos for it, and it ended up working out, you know, really good. They're some of my best performing videos on there. And it translated extremely well to Brawlhalla. And there were a couple different ones for them, but yeah, it's like you gotta try stuff, but at the same time, you know, you don't need to go so extreme to where, like, yeah, you do something and then it's like, okay, this probably won't do. You never want to think this probably won't do good. Like, you never want to make something and be like, my cat keeps getting up. You never want to think like, I'm going to try something just for the sake of trying something. I'm going to have a bit of a plan of attack. I think that was a lot of waffle, but yeah, I'll leave it on that. You gotta go into it with a game plan. You can't just wing it. I think even if it looks like some people just wing it, they in the end always have like a really, really solid approach beforehand.
Gotcha. Okay. So you mentioned that you probably aren't going to upload beyond sort of like Brawlhalla on your current channel. I mean, at this point, you're doing full-time content creation, right?
Yep.
Have you considered like starting additional channels for other types of content? Or is that something that you're interested in?
You know, I think in the grand plan, it would be nice to eventually get, I don't want to say get away from Brawlhalla, but, you know, of course, be able to just turn on, like, my live stream, for example, and just the focus is about whatever I do, not, like, not just Brawlhalla. The focus is more on me, I guess.
Right.
Of course, I think that does take a degree of luck. There is strategy. I mean, people have made that very clear. But of course, you know, I've thought about like making another channel and not really saying anything about it and just like whatever I decide to do with it, just kind of have it totally be separated from the audience that I currently have. I think a good example, I actually saw that like Egg Soup, he has Egg Stew and it's like his roguelike. Yeah. It's his roguelike channel. So, I mean, it's doable, right? If you can do it in one area, then who's to say you can't do it in the other? So I definitely, like, I have the confidence to transfer into another channel. I just don't think I currently have any plans right now.
Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, having just the one channel is a lot of work. I mean, adding an additional channel would probably be, like, orders of magnitude more work. I don't understand how Coslix does it with like four or five different channels or whatever it is that he has at this point. So the guy's a little crazy. to talk about we touched on your streaming a little bit. So you've been streaming on Twitch for, I mean, about as long as you've been a player at this point, I think, right?
Yeah.
And I think, I mean, every time I look at Twitch and you're streaming, you're pretty close to the top of the Brawlhalla category, if not at the top. Do you think that's kind of like a combination of just your history as a pro player or like the consistency that you stream at? Or what do you think kind of factors in there for you?
Okay. Yeah, this is actually, in my mind, I've thought about this a lot, and I think it's a pretty easy answer. People from YouTube, I make videos, because a lot of times I take recordings from Twitch, you know, and I give them to, hey, Ixed, my editor. I'm like, let's turn it into, let's say, 1v7. And then at the beginning of the video, it'll say twitch.tv/FaZeOn or whatever, right? You would think, oh, okay, a lot of these YouTube people are going to come over. I have YouTube people, like, regularly. They come, and they're like, I didn't even know you streamed. And I'm like, my biggest videos that you've probably seen say, like, this is where I'm at. And I don't know.
Yeah.
You would figure, like, oh, if they know YouTube, at this point, they're going to know the YouTube of streaming, which is Twitch. And it's just that they're totally oblivious to that. So I don't think really, like, the content side of it, or I should say like my YouTube channel has impacted it a ton.
Okay.
I think competitive is huge when it comes to the Brawlhalla section. You look at like Java, Luna, these guys don't have YouTube channels that they regularly upload on. But because, let's just focus on Luna, because he is someone who's recently done extremely well, it's so easy for him to get like 200 plus viewers if he wanted to stream. It's a weird like disconnect where the esports scene is almost so tuned in to like Twitch, and I think it's very easy for them to be like, I watch grand finals of this guy, oh, I'll click him. And then they don't really see like the YouTube part. It's just there's a strange.
It feels like a split community. You think?
Yes.
Where the YouTube, the people that are watching on YouTube are not necessarily the same people that watch tournaments and like high level gameplay necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
Have you now that Twitch has changed their terms of service so that you can co-stream? Have you considered doing any YouTube streaming or anything like that?
I actually did one the other day for the first time. It was pretty easy to set up, but I don't know. I always thought, like, in recent history, I was like, you know what? Twitch is going downhill. I'm going to make the jump to YouTube.
Mm.
And after kind of messing with the YouTube stuff, I think I'm comfortable with Twitch. But it was kind of annoying looking at two chats at once that were separate. I wish I could just combine it. I'm not saying that YouTube doesn't have a good thing going for them. I just think it's like, it doesn't, I don't know. It was my first time. I definitely need to do it again. I don't know if I'll do it regularly. Because at the end of the day, I would like to just stick to one platform. So, yeah, I don't know. Doing multi-streaming stuff is less appealing once you actually do it. It's like, it's not even that much more involved, in my opinion. It's just like, you know your platform, right? These are, sure. I have 40,000 something people following me on Twitch specifically for streaming. You know, if you want to watch a stream, you go there to watch me. On YouTube, you watch YouTube videos, and you're probably not going to be too familiar with, like, oh, he's live on YouTube. It just doesn't make sense.
Gotcha. Let's talk a little bit about sort of like past events and interesting or kind of like funny moments in kind of like your history in competing, because you've been to a lot of events and mm-hmm. I've been to a lot of the same events.
Yeah.
Do you have anything in mind that you would consider like just like a fun story or something that's happened at a LAN or some kind of like Brawlhalla related event that you think would be like a fun story to tell?
I remember after Low Tier City, like winning. So Friday night when Remy and I won twos, we won, and then we go outside and there was like fireworks. So it was pretty funny just to be like, yep, these are for me. We ended up going back to the hotel room and we got like McDonald's or something. And I remember him drinking a sip of his Sprite and he thought it was spicy, and that was probably one of the funniest things I ever heard. So that's a very fond memory. But that whole weekend, minus the win, like, even I genuinely think even if I didn't get a LAN win there, it was so fun. Like the day before, we went to, I think there's a Six Flags I don't remember where exactly that stuff is at, but in that area, like the Dallas kind of area, there was a Six Flags that we went to. So much fun. LDZ actually passed out on one of the rides that, like, you go, like, they raise you up and then it's like the drop down. And
Yeah.
I was right next to him and I literally watched that guy go out of consciousness probably twice. And it was hilarious. He was fine. But yeah, that was good. And then, I mean, yeah, the Remy story. Trying to think what else. I mean, you know, all these lands are pretty good. I remember also at the Low Tier City one, there was really a time, I think, when, like, Mafia or whatever was big.
Yeah.
And, like, we played that there. Like, I remember the hotel room we had. For whatever reason, we had a huge, like, front area, so we got to hang out with a bunch of people there. And, yeah, there's multiple lands, I think, that year where people were, like, playing Mafia normally, like, at the ends of the days or something, and that was always a good time.
Was it final round where somebody like Airbnb'd a giant house and we had like, I want to say like 12 or 14 people in that living room. Yeah.
I was there. Yes.
Yeah. We had like 12 or 14 people in that living room playing Mafia. That was a good time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, lands. Go to lands, people. Mm-hmm. that's the, you just the moral of the story.
Exactly. Yeah. And you can't just, if you're going there to compete, great. But if you don't do how you want, still, I've been there. It is so hard. Still try and make the most of the event. Like,
yeah.
And even if the event itself is botched for you, dude, just the things outside of it, like the mafia, like, you mm-hmm. know, if you're at an Airbnb, hang out with friends. There's great food in a lot of these places that we're going to, right? The area itself is normally pretty nice. There's other things to do aside from just attend that event. Because at that point, if you don't make it to, say, finals day and you're like, I can't bear to be at the venue, then treat it as like a vacation day. Just go around, yeah. do whatever. Because at that point, that's what it is for you. So whether you like it or not, you have to accept it. So just try and make the most of that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's great advice. Yeah, these are like for everyone except for like the top eight players.
Mm-hmm.
I generally think that these LAN events should be considered like social gatherings.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah, like you should be there to like meet the people that you play against online and hang out and have fun. Like,
mm-hmm.
and that's the best part of BCX too, is because it's the biggest one. So,
exactly.
Kind of on the same terms of advice, let's talk a little bit about like new players kind of on the come up. As someone who's kind of been in the pro scene for a long time now, what would be your kind of advice on players that are like looking to enter into competitive or start to get good, or maybe are starting to get good and want to get better and participate and perform more at these events?
I would say, enter in community tournaments. Like those are, you know, there's so many of them nowadays, it's very easy to get involved. They're going to make you comfortable in tournament settings. Even if all the greatest players aren't going to be playing, you know, you can fall back on the fact. And even if you don't place well, you're like, oh, I've been here before, right? So when it comes time to like entering a major tournament, maybe the nerves are a little lessened. And even if they're not, at least you're familiar with how to maybe conquer them. And okay, like how can I divert this energy that I'm feeling, this like negative energy in the moment? How did I use that in the community tournament? Did I end up letting it basically make me fold? Or was I able to kind of transfer it? You know, was I able to like box it in my mind, take a deep breath in, reset, and you know, I was able to pull through, clutch up, whatever the scenario was in your set. Communities, yeah, they're a huge thing. I would also say ranked is very good, but make sure you are playing it for the right reasons. If you're wanting to kind of ascend into like the pro level, if you go in the, like if you play ranked with the mindset of, oh, I want to get ELO, I want to get ELO. Well, then you're going to fight someone who say is a pro, right? Or just anyone, you get beat by them. You might not be as inclined to rematch them because you're like, oh, I don't know how to beat them, so let me just avoid them completely, right? You start dodging the tough matchups, and that's where you have to kind of take that leap at that point you're at, because it's like you're good enough to beat, you know, Diamonds, other Valhallans, but if you're not going to be figuring out your problems, right, you're not going to be willing to face people who might tank you 150 ELO and you might have a terrible ranked record with them, well then you're never going to figure out what it takes to necessarily get to that next level. Because what if you run into them in tournament, especially starting out as a, let's say, someone who feels like they can break into it, right, like a semi-pro, as a lot of people say, right, they haven't gotten placements before but they feel like they're right there. You got to be comfortable with losing in practice, and ranked is practice. And the Brazilians do a great job of this, or all of South America does a great job. They don't focus on the ELO itself. There has been many a times, and when I was playing with Yuz, actually, practicing up to San Diego, we would queue on South America sometimes, and he even said himself, it's like, yeah, it's all for practice. We don't care about ELO. If someone disconnects, you know, there's times where their teammate would disconnect, and then Yuz and I would just disconnect, because it was like the focus is not, oh, we have a free win. It's, oh, you know, whatever, we'll be
respectful. We're wasting our time.
We're wasting our time. We'll get, you know, we'll get them and we'll rematch them, and then we'll have a fair fight. And honestly, you know, with that sort of logic, it's easy to see why they ended up having so much success at BCX, right? With having probably the least amount of players from their region there to get first and second in ones.
Yeah.
I mean, that's crazy. That's so crazy. But yeah, those are just some of my tips.
I would say that South America definitely has the best mindset for improvement. Yep. As far as like all of the main regions right now. And I feel like North America was that way like 3 years ago, 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And it kind of fell off pretty significantly as far as like people's sort of like mentals. Mm-hmm. And it would be cool to get that back.
No, it would be. I think we've just been at the top for so long, right? I made the comparison to like, we are a king in North America. We were the king. We were at the top for so long as a region. You know, we started eating too good, drank too much wine. We got lazy, whatever.
Right.
It doesn't matter. We know we're the best. No one can touch us. More of these people, right? You got the people in the court conspiring against you. The South Americans are like, we have something to prove, right? We are this good. And the Europeans, who failed multiple times to get like a world championship and stuff, it was like, dude, we are, you know, we're ready to finally get something as well. And here comes Godly, here comes Kaina, here comes Yuz.
So one of the things I wanted to ask you about too was, we talked a little bit about your advice for new players or players on the come up. Mm-hmm. How about your advice for content creators or people that are looking to get into sort of the content side of Brawlhalla as well?
I would say when it comes to that, you just gotta do it. Like, you have to, I don't want to say you have to force yourself to upload, but you kind of do. You just have to like get that out of the way. You have to make it a habit, right? Mm-hmm. A good comparison for some maybe is like gym, right? At first it's like, you know, it feels like a bit of a hassle, but then, you know, you start enjoying it mentally, physically, obviously, you know, you might see some results or something that you like. And then from there, it becomes not a task or another job. It's like, oh, this is a fun thing to do. And with recording, that's way more of a passive thing than going to like the gym is. And mm-hmm. even like with live streaming and stuff, a lot of these guys, you know, I was talking about like Luna earlier. He will, not lately, but he has in the past, like, streamed a decent amount. It's like, oh, you can just hit record at the same time, and then you can transfer whatever you are live streaming into a condensed video version. Mm-hmm. The hardest part is, you know, learning how to edit, thumbnail, and coming up with, like, a title and stuff. But the thing is, if you do have the money to do so, you can send those off and have other people do them for you and mm-hmm. even do them better. But I definitely implore everyone who is interested in getting into content. And I've been talking to Snowy a lot about this because he's been trying to figure out how to grow and stuff. I would say it is very beneficial to, even at a base level, know how to work Photoshop, know how to work Premiere Pro, or just any sort of, you know, video editing software, to know the basics. That way, if your editor can't do something, or you know, you're like, maybe, you know, I can't necessarily afford to have an editor, well, you can do them yourselves, and you can do the basic cuts, you can do basic transitions, balance out, you know, audio stuff need be, and you might find out that you actually really enjoy it, and then you save a lot of money because you're not having an editor just edit everything. Because if you're gonna stick with it and you're gonna keep growing, their workload is going to only grow, and the amount of money that you give to them is only going to grow. Obviously, for some, that's a necessary thing. For others, mm-hmm. that might not necessarily be the most worthwhile thing in the world. So you just have to kind of, at that point, you know, there's pros and cons both sides. Where do you fit?
Right. Well, we're getting pretty close to the end of our time together. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I like to ask people at the end is if you have anything particular that you want to say to sort of like the community, the wider community, even mm-hmm. beyond like Brawlhalla, like
right.
competitive or whatever the case may be. Anything that you would like to say to people?
Oh, man. Not particularly, you know. I'll keep doing this as long as I enjoy it, and you know, I'll be open about it. Like I've had my ups and downs this year, without being specific, but it's like at the end of the day, I think it's very important for everyone to have something that even when stuff feels kind of rough, you know, you can go back to it, you can enjoy it, and you can kind of remove yourself, I don't want to say from reality, but take yourself away from whatever current situation you might be facing. And that is different for everyone. I'm not going to try and point anyone in, you know, some sort of direction, but yeah, be passionate about things. Once you lose that passion, it's important, I think, to try and make an effort to see if you're, you know, maybe these other things are bothering me to a point where it's kind of hindering the stuff I do love. But if you don't love it, right, you put forth the effort, you try and really reinvigorate yourself in a way, you know, in the area. Like for me, if I really hated doing content and I was pushing myself to do videos and I was like, you know what, I really put forth my best effort, I still don't enjoy it, that's okay. There's so many other things to do. You don't have to feel cornered in any way. You know, there's nothing wrong with trying something different or, yeah, I mean, just casting your net, seeing what's out there. There's so many things that you can do nowadays, and so many, you know, ways to take care of yourself and just have fun.
Nice. You kind of alluded to it there. One last question, I think, mm-hmm. is at this point, do you consider yourself more of a competitive player or a streamer, or do you want, or content creator? And do you see one or more of these lines kind of continuing forth into next year and beyond? Like, are you still going to be playing competitively, or is content more your focus now?
That was another reason why, like, for this December month to close out the year, to really try and find my stride again with content, because it is hard, dude, to compete at a high level in Brawlhalla. It is crazy. I'm only able to, like, and I, you know, people, sure, someone can say I fell off, right? But the thing is, I've still been getting relatively the same placements that I used to, at least in 1v1s, like around 9th or so. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I'm improving as well, but some of these people, there's so many more people now in general, and there's so many more people who are just grind all day. All they're focused on is like competing and nothing else. Whereas for me, I do feel like I've been pulled in two different directions when it comes to, oh man, it would be so nice to win again, you know, just get good placements, make some money like that. And I know that'll like benefit my channel and stuff, because it does. But at the same time, I'm like, oh, wow, I have made decent money from doing content, and mm-hmm. I know the opportunities can only grow, and that is way less stressful. And it's like, I'm being pulled on both sides, and I'm like, oh, I don't know if I want to compete with 15-year-olds for another 2-3 years. And I don't know. I would say I'm trying to maybe make a bit of a transition into content and stuff, but I just think, and I, you know, I talked about it a little bit with like the passion stuff, like with competing, competing since 2017, like my first major win was in 2017. My last major win was in 2021. Like it's so difficult to continue to have that same like, let's get another one, right? For me at this point, it is a 1v1 win, it is a, sure, any sort of 2v2 win would be, a win in general is nice, but like a BCX win, because I've won an online 2v2, I've won a LAN 2v2. A BCX 2v2 is really the only place I can go from there. And then, again, like I said, 1v1 stuff. So it's like, I have to ask myself, though, do I have the drive? I know what content can do. Content is much longer lasting. Like, the competitive scene, there's no guarantee that the prize pool is going to be as big as it was the previous year. Or if it's, you know, they're going to give the just same support in general. They're going to have, like, the same online tournaments and stuff. Are they going to have more LANs? Whatever. You don't have any sort of guarantee of that. And content, right. You know, you have your own... You're not relying on... You're relying on the game still, but at the same time, you built that for yourself, right? The game... Right. The competitive side goes away. A lot of these people at the top, they don't really have a backup plan, and, you know, they're kids anyways, so it's kind of like they don't care, right? All they're focusing on is tunnel visioning on winning, and I get that. I was there. I respect it a lot. But then they get in college, you know, then they slow down a little bit, and then next thing you know, oh... You know, taxes are due, and it's like I have a full time job and I can't compete and do this full time job.
And real life hits you like a truck, man.
Yeah, and then, dude, it's like I'm gonna be 24 in 13 days on the 15th of this month. Okay. So it's like I am so gramps in the competitive scene. It's crazy. I would like to see the average, right? Listen, I know, but it's like. There's not, like, all the people that I kind of came up with and competed against. I mean, dude, like, Noel's got a family. Oh, yeah. Isidore Drew's working a full-time job. Cody's working a full-time job. And I don't even know how that guy, some people can just pick up the game and be really good at it. So props to him. I'm not like that, right? If I had to work a full-time job, it would be, I think, maybe too much for me, especially competing. Because it's like, yeah. I don't want to go from, a you know, 9 to 5 to, oh... Okay, let me grind this game for 3 hours and just be frustrated half the night and then compete on a Saturday, absorb my weekend that I could have done something else, you know, right? Because it's like you're making your money from this other place now. It's just hard to be like, really give your best effort when you're not relying on it a lot. So
That makes sense.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that was great. I appreciate you coming on the show. Thank you for being here. That was episode 9 of season 2 of Brawlhalla Origins. Thank you very much, Faison.
No problem, dude. It was fun.
Have a good one.
Thanks for watching this episode of Brawlhalla Origins. We'll be back next week with another episode. Join our VIP list by signing up at season2.brawlhallaorigins.com to get early access to each episode, special clips, giveaways, and behind-the-scenes updates. See you next week.